Turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 16 in your Bibles tonight. Luke chapter number 16 in your Bibles this evening. Next week we'll be finishing up going through the book of Nehemiah. And I believe tonight the Lord would have us to take a side road and deal with some things this evening here in Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16 in your Bibles, and notice there in verse number 19 tonight. Luke chapter 16 in your Bibles tonight in verse number 19. The Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now is he comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send into my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, I pray tonight that as we look at this subject, as we look at this story here in Luke chapter 16, that you would give us ears to hear. And Father, I pray this evening that you would give us a heart to respond. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that has never trusted Christ to be their Savior. Lord, if they were to die tonight, Lord, they split hell wide open and be separated from you for all of eternity. God, I pray tonight that you would reach in that individual's heart, bring them under conviction, and Holy Spirit, I pray that you draw them to yourself. Father, I pray for your people. God, give us a burden to reach others. Lord, I pray that we would be concerned about the five brethren that we meet on a regular basis. God, help us to have a burden for souls. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Here in Luke chapter number 16, Jesus Christ begins to preach a message, and he begins to tell the story of a story of two different individuals. Some people have said that Luke chapter 16 is a parable. Let me just say that this is not the case. If it was a parable, Jesus would have said it is a parable. Every time when Jesus gave a parable, he would say, here's the parable, and he would go on to explain a parable. Of course, we know a parable is a earthly story with an eternal truth and with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus many times would do different parables. But also when Jesus would preach, he would use current events. And he'd talk about real life stories and things that were really taking place. And as we come to Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 19, the Bible tells us a story of two different men. I'm preaching of maybe somebody tonight, and boy, you're one of those individuals. You have that choice to make. I wonder tonight, who are you going to be? Are you going to be the rich man, or are you going to be Lazarus? Are you going to be the man that says no to Jesus Christ and his offer of eternal salvation, and one day die without Christ and spend eternity in the lake of fire? Or are you going to, by faith alone, apart from works, trust Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? Notice here in the story, the two people, it says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Man, if you were to look at this rich man, you would say this man has the dream life. Man, he has the dream job. He's got the food. He's got the house. He's got the servants. The Bible says that he was clothed in purple. Purple in the Bible days was a sign of royalty. It was a sign of great authority. And so here's a man that's just not your average everyday commoner. Hey, this is not Joe the plumber that goes to work for 40 hours a week and collects his paycheck and that's it. This is a man that has it all. Man, he's got the bank accounts. He's got the 401ks. He's got the toys. The Bible says that he was clothed in purple and fine linen. Hey, fine linen was very expensive. Many times the fine linen would come all the way from India. And man, they would make that long trek from India over there to where Jerusalem was at. And you would pay a high premium for finer clothes of the day. He was clothed in that fine linen. And the Bible says that he fared sumptuously every day. Man, this guy had this T-bone steaks every day. He had the lobster. Man, he had the big old, you know, fancy buffets and the wonderful desserts. Man, whatever his heart desired, he'd say to that servant, hey, you go ahead and make this for me. You prepare my meals for me. Here was a man that ate at Ruth Chris, Cheesecake Factory, you name it. He was a man that enjoyed the finer things of life. And so the Bible says, here's this rich man, a man that had it all. But notice in verse number 20, the Bible says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Whose gate was he laid at? He was laid at the gate of the rich man. And so this rich man, he has that big old gate, man, probably guards standing there. Man, he was a man that had property. He was a man that had, you know, the bling of the day. And yet this poor man, this beggar, Lazarus, laid at his gate and he was full of sores. Man, he couldn't go to the doctor. He couldn't go get the prescription. He couldn't go and get his sickness healed. He was a man that was bidding his time until that day came when he would step out of this physical life and into the eternal life. His name was Lazarus. And so what happened as the story goes on in verse 21, it begins to tell the story more of Lazarus. It says, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Well, you talk about an awful plight to be in. Man, here's a man that not only does he not have a home, he's living under a man's gate. Not only does he not have a doctor to help with his open sores, but this guy is so hungry, he desires the crumbs from the rich man's table. I think I was talking to Larry a couple, I think it was Wednesday night, maybe the Sunday before, about leftovers. I am not a leftover man. I do not eat leftovers. And the reason is because for 10 years of my married life with my wife, we would travel all over the country. And man, when I would come home, I didn't want to warm up something that was in the microwave. I wanted something hot and something fresh because I knew I was going to be gone for another week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever, however long we'd be gone and be, you know, eating out. And I always love home-cooked food. And so I wanted something fresh. I cannot stand leftovers. And man, it just has a weird taste to me. It doesn't seem right. But man, this guy, not only was he willing to eat the leftovers of the of this rich man, he was willing to eat the crumbs on the ground. Now, I don't know how many of you have kids here or grandkids. Maybe the grandkids came over today and they pigged out at your house and you looked under the table. My table is exciting every day, all right? You never know what's going to be under there, you know? I was sweeping a little while back and there was marshmallows, and there was from the marshmallow cereal, and man, there was rice on the ground, and there was, you know, probably some quinoa, because nobody in their right mind, Miss Janice, likes it, but, you know, I mean, just everything's on the ground. Why? And what does he want? He wants the crumbs. Think about that. Old, moldy, disgusting crumbs. Hey, that's where this beggar's at. Man, if we were to look at this beggar today, you know what, in our day and time, we'd say, what a loser. Man, what a waste. Hey, what a good-for-nothing bum that he's just, you know, doing nothing with his life. And so here's a rich man. Hey, we could say a successful individual, wealthy, a man of authority, a man of power, a man of strength, a man of might. Here's a beggar that has nothing. Notice as it goes on, it describes the doctor or the cure for his sickness. It says in verse 21, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Man, that's disgusting. I don't know about you, but I would not want a dog to come and lick my sores. But that's what was going on with that poor man. In verse 22, it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom, before Jesus Christ rose from the dead, is where all the saints would go. And that was heaven. That is a picture of what, when we die, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if there's been a time in your life that you realized you were lost and on your way to hell, and Jesus Christ died for you, and you by faith alone apart from works, trusted Christ to be your Savior, the Bible says that when you take your last breath, and by the way, your last breath could be tonight. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You understand that? The Bible says, boast not in thyself of tomorrow, for no man knoweth what a day may bring forth. Hey, this could be the last sermon that I ever preach. Hey, this could be the last time you ever sit under the preaching of the Word of God. Hey, that's why we need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. That's why we need to listen on purpose, because this could be your final message before God takes you out of here. Hey, here's a man that had nothing, and the Bible says he died. And the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. He was taken to heaven. Hey, what a wonderful story. Here's a man that had nothing. Now has everything. He's in the presence of Almighty God. But notice as it goes on, it says at the end of verse 22, the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. The rich man died. Here's a man that had nothing and he dies and goes to heaven. Here's a man that has it all and he dies. And the Bible says he woke up in the flames of hell. Oh, the Bible says he was buried. I bet you that burial was an amazing burial. I think about when, back, I believe it was what, 2004 or 2003, when Ronald Reagan passed away. I'll never forget watching that funeral, and the big to-do with that, and all the flowers and the dignitaries that came, they spoke about Ronald Reagan. And I think about when a president dies, man, that's a big thing. When a dignitary dies, that's a big funeral. When Princess Diana, all those years ago, I remember that was the first funeral that I ever caught on the news. You know, that was a big deal. You know, everybody was watching it. Hey, this rich man died, and everybody probably came and said their goodbyes. They probably talked about what a wonderful man he was. What a great dad. What a great leader. What a great man he was. And yet the Bible says this man was not prepared for death. I might be preaching to somebody this morning or this evening. You've got your bank account in line. You've got your house in line. You've got your business in line. But you're not ready to meet God. You're not ready for eternity. And this rich man had everything taken care of. He was all set in the bank account. All set in the financial world, and yet the Bible says one day God said, today's your day, this is your last day, this is your time to die. And the Bible says that he died, he took his last breath, and the Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. You know, there are preachers that don't want to preach on hell, and there are preachers that want to just preach a feel good sermonette to make you feel good about yourself and preach on joy and love and happiness in heaven. Understand, dear friend, Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven, because he did not want you to go there. And the Bible says that this rich man died and he woke up in the flames of hell, and the Bible says that he was in torments. Understand, it just wasn't a singular torment. And when you die, it's not annihilation. When you die, it's not reincarnation. It's not purgatory. Hey friend, when you die, you will wake up in the flames of hell. You say, Pastor, what exactly is hell? Well, the Bible says it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hey, the fire in hell will never go out. The Bible says it's a place where they scream for mercy. It's a place where regret is abounds. It's a place of bottomless pit, the Bible talks about. It's a place of complete darkness. It's a place of being chained up. It's a place of awful, awful torment. And the Bible says that this rich man died and he woke up in the flames of hell. And what did he begin to do? Notice there in verse number 24, it says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And notice the two prayers this rich man prayed. He prayed, first of all, for mercy. He said, Father Abraham. And by the way, you realize this evening, the person he needed to be praying to was not Father Abraham, but was to Jesus Christ before he died. And you understand this evening, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You say, well, I'm an atheist. You know what? One day every atheist will bow their knee to Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm a Muslim. Every Muslim will bow their knee to Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Understand, it doesn't matter what the governments may say. It doesn't matter what the filthy blasphemy that comes out of Hollywood may say. Friend, one day you will bow the knee to Jesus Christ. And it will either be you bow before him and he's your Savior, and you bow and you trust him to be your Savior before you die. Or one day you will bow before him at the great white throne judgment and you'll hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. One day you will bow before King Jesus, and one day you will have to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But he cried. He said, Father Abraham, here's what I need. Here I am. I woke up in hell. He said, would you have mercy upon me and send Lazarus? Remember, Lazarus was that bum. A guy that had nothing. The man that didn't even have a house, didn't even have a pillow, didn't even have a doctor to go to. A man that was desiring to eat his crumbs. He said, would you send Lazarus, notice, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flames. Hey, this guy was in so much pain. You know what he wanted? He didn't ask for a bottle of water. He didn't say, Abraham, would you send me an ice cool bottle of water? No, he said, you know what I want? I just want I want him to take his finger and dip it in the water and cool my tongue. Just a brief moment of mercy and relief. You realize, friend, this evening, if you die without Jesus Christ, if you die tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, you understand you will wake up in the flames of hell and there will be no escape route. There will be no getting out. And boy, the pain and the consequences for your sin for all of eternity will be the real deal. Friend, don't go there, but he begged for mercy. Why? Because he was in great pain. I remember when I was in high school, a guy I played baseball with, Byron. Byron Lovejoy, cocky kid, good ball player. But I remember I was witnessing with my brother one time, and I told Byron, I said, you need to get saved. He said, no. He said, Steve, he said, when I die, I'm going to go to hell, drink beer, and play cards with my friends. You know, Byron is misunderstands what hell really is like. It's not a place you're going to go drink and have a party. It's not a place that, you know, let the good times roll. No, friend, it's an awful place. And the rich man begged for mercy. But notice Abraham's response in verse 25. Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise what Lazarus evil things, but now is he comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. We see his prayer. He said, Abraham, would you let me have relief? And he realized something. The rich man realized that there was no escaping hell. He realized there's no get out of jail. He realized there's no more hope. Remember, I haven't even played Monopoly growing up, and I still play it sometimes with Josiah and Lily. You know, the get out of jail-free card. Man, what a great card that is, right? But there's no get out of jail-free card in hell. Man, there's no exit escape route. Man, you'll spend eternity separated from God. So he realizes my fate is settled. He realizes there's no way out. He realizes my eternity is doomed. And so this rich man begins to pray. He prayed for mercy, but notice again, number two, his second prayer. He said in verse 27, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He said, Abraham, would you do me a favor? Would you send Lazarus back? Would you send Lazarus from heaven? And would you send him back to my brothers? Why? Verse 28, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Hey, here's a rich man that had nothing to do with God in his life, totally concerned about the spiritual well-being of his family. He's concerned about his five brothers. What's his prayer? Abraham, I don't want my brothers to come here. You realize right now, Christian, in hell, in the lake of fire, there are thousands of souls that are lost and doomed for eternity that are pleading with God for somebody to go and reach their lost family members. You realize that? You realize tomorrow when you go to work, the co-workers that you surround yourself with that are lost without Christ, there are people that are pleading with God for them to get saved. Why? Because they don't want them to go to hell. They don't want to spend eternity separated from God. They're pleading, hey, send somebody back. I wonder, what are we doing to share our faith? You know, when been going through in Sunday school, the importance of sharing our faith. I wonder, when's the last time you went out in the highways and hedges and you compelled them to come in? When's the last time you witnessed for Christ? When's the last time you handed out a gospel tract? When's the last time you had a passion for souls? When's the last time that we desired to see somebody rescued from the flames of hell and born again to the family of God? He said, send somebody back. But notice Abraham's response in verse 29. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Who's Moses? Moses is the law, the word of God. They got the prophets, the Old Testament preachers. Hey, what do they have today? They've got the complete word of God. They've got the preachers and the Christians that are heralding forth the word of God. Hey, nobody's coming back from hell to preach a message. Nobody's coming back from heaven to preach a message. Why? Because we've got the message, and if they won't hear the word of God, They're not going to respond to the message of somebody that comes back from the dead. You say, Pastor, what are you saying tonight? What's the thrust? What's the heartbeat? What should we take out of this message? It's a message. The reality is this, that we need to be doing our job of trying to reach others with the gospel of Christ. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those that are saved. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you'll hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. And I just wondered this Sunday evening, this Mother's Day night, I wonder perhaps would there be somebody tonight that say, Pastor, man, I don't know Christ. I've got religion. I can sing some of the songs. I can put on a show. I can talk the talk. But Pastor, I don't know Christ as my Savior. Maybe that's you tonight. Hey, listen, don't risk eternity based on your faulty thoughts. Don't go to the lake of fire because, well, you know, I'm a church member. No, friend, this evening, why don't you by faith alone, apart from works, turn from your sin and trust Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. The rich man had it all. He was a man that had position. He had honor. He was living the dream. And yet the Bible says he died and he woke up in hell. Lazarus, a man that was a beggar, had nothing. And yet the Bible says he enjoyed heaven. Why? What was it? Why did Lazarus go to heaven and the rich man go to hell? Because Lazarus came to a place in his life where he said, you know what? I'm not going to heaven by my religion. I'm not going to heaven by my works. I'm going Jesus' way. Jesus said it this way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friends, you're not going to go to heaven by your good works. You only can go through Jesus Christ. He's the only lifeline. He's the mediator between God and man. That man is Jesus Christ. I wonder, has he saved you? Has he rescued you? Has there been that time in your life? Can you go back to that day? Can you go back to that moment where you, by faith alone, apart from works, trusted Christ to be your Savior? If not tonight, why don't you get that settled? Why don't you know for sure that heaven is your home? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer this evening. Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. I thank you for the reminder. Lord, you said that we need to flee from the wrath to come. Lord, we realize that if somebody dies without Jesus Christ, they're going to spend eternity separated from you in the flames of hell. God, I pray tonight for that one, maybe two, maybe more tonight, that need to come to Jesus Christ. I pray that you give them that courage. God, I pray tonight that there would be an individual that trusts Christ to be their Savior. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder perhaps would there be one tonight that would say, Pastor Schwanke, you know, I know religion. I may be a decent person. I may have the trinkets and the toys like the rich man had, but I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I realized tonight that if I took my last breath, that tonight was the night that I was to die, I realized that I'd spend eternity in a lake of fire and hell, and that's not where I want to go. Pastor Schwanke, tonight I want to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure if I die today that I go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my soul. Would you pray for me? If that's you tonight and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, I would love to pray for you. Would you do me a favor? Would you slip your hand up? I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out, but I want to pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven tonight. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Hey, I wonder, second of all, tonight, child of God, I wonder, what are we doing to share our faith? What are we doing to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying? Hey, maybe tonight there's somebody you need to pray about. Maybe there's somebody you need to witness to. Maybe there's a coworker. Maybe there's a family member that if they died without Christ, you realize tonight that they'd wake up in the flames of hell. I wonder how many tonight would say, Pastor, tonight God's laid some soul on my heart. There's somebody that I need to witness to. Would you pray for me this week that God would give me boldness to witness to that friend so that way they can avoid that awful place of hell? Pastor, pray for me. God spoke to my heart. If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room? God laid something in my heart. Good. Man, good. Praise the Lord. Good. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Good. Man, let's be faithful with that. Let's share our faith. Let's try to do our job to rescue people from the flames of hell. Miss Aubrey's going to come and we're going to sing that song, Rescue the Perish. May God spoke to your heart. Maybe tonight you need to come. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And I pray now that as we sing that song, Rescue the Perishing, I pray that we will leave with a burning desire to tell people about Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's one tonight that's not sure they're on their way to heaven, I pray that they would come tonight and get that settled in Jesus' name.